be here, and thank you to Independent Baptist Church for your kindness to my son Jason and his family. It's been 39 years since I was here, and a lot has changed, and I really don't remember a lot about coming to Anchorage. I came up here back then, it was to fish. I remember a lot of the creeks and everything, but I don't remember a lot about Anchorage. But we've been looking forward to coming up here for well over a year, and finally got here. If I was to be totally honest, the real reason I'm here is to see my grandkids. And if you're a grandparent, you totally understand that. Worst part about growing up in the older household was getting used as a sermon example at some point in their life. And pastor said something this morning. He wanted to hear a story. So Jason, the reason Jason is the way he is, it's my fault. He doesn't really take after his dad, but the reason he is it's my fault. And when our family was younger, we did a lot of biking. When Jason got old enough to ride a bike, we got him a good bike and we started riding. Well, he and I went out on his first bicycle ride. It was a long ride. Everything Jason does is long and intense. And we're on our way back to the house, and we're back into the residential part of our neighborhood. And I thought, this would be a teaching moment for him. So I was riding behind him, and he was in front. And I began to explain to him hand signals. This is turn right, this is turn left, and this is stop. And I'm trying to explain this, and he's doing it with this hand. And I said, no, you do it with your left hand. And about the time he crossed over, he wiped out, and I ran over him. and that's why he's the way he is today, because his father ran over him. How many know what a taco, you taco the rear wheel, or taco a rim on a bicycle, how many know what that is? Wow. Yeah, right there we go. So I tacoed his rear wheel, and he was not able to ride his bike home. That's when you fold it up. And so I said, son, that one's on me. So I got him a new rear wheel, and he's been riding ever since. And anyway, so God's good. He really is. And I do want to thank those of you who prayed for me through my sickness. And right now I'm as good as the best I've been since getting sick, and so I do thank you for that. God's good. He really is. Well, tonight I'd love to take you to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter number 27. And this truth I'd like to teach tonight is a truth. When I learned it, it really helped me immensely in my service for God. 1 Chronicles chapter number 27. I'm not going to read the whole text tonight, but I want to give you a portion here. Starting in verse number 25 of 1 Chronicles chapter number 27. And over the king's treasure was Amathith, the son of Adel, and over the storehouses in the fields, in the cities, and in the villages, and in the castles was Jehonathan, the son of Uzziah. But look at verse number 28. And over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Baalhanan, the Gittite, and over the cellars of oil was Joash. The last verse I want to read, verse number 34, and after Fulfill was Jehoada, the son of Benna, and Adather, and the general of the king's army was Joab. With that, Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you tonight, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray you'd guard my thoughts, my tongue, and may all be said to the obedience of Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Chronicles 27, starting in verse number 25 through verse number 34, we find a list of 19 officers that served in the king's court. But not only we find the 19 officers listed there, we also find their duties that are spelled out and carried out there. You think about that, it would have been a great honor and a great privilege in that day to have been asked by the king of Israel to serve in his reign, to serve in some capacity. If we were to fast forward to today's times, you think about what an honor it would be to be asked to serve in some capacity by, say, the governor of Alaska, or perhaps the president of the United States, to be asked to serve in that capacity. But even in a greater capacity than serving a governor or a president or even a great corporation or anything like that, what if your pastor came to you and asked you for a special place of service in your local church? But even more than that, consider our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ chooses out men and women to serve Him. And by the way, it's a great privilege to serve God. Not everybody's called into full-time service, but I believe everybody's called to serve in some capacity. God didn't just save us to warm a pew in a local church. And by the way, I'm all for the local church and sitting and coming and serving. In Ephesians 2, we know Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse 10, I love verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Man, getting saved is wonderful. But allowing God to use you is absolutely wonderful. What a blessing to be used by God. I think about so many in Scripture that God had worked and moved through. Apostle Paul. Paul had mentors in his life, Barnabas being one of them. You think of those that served with Paul, Luke and Silas and John Mark. And then you think of those that Paul crossed paths with in his ministry, Rhoda, Lois and Phoebe and the different ones. God used each and every one of them in a unique way, and then they were all different. Pastor, could you imagine having a church full of Apostle Pauls? I mean, everybody that sat here was an Apostle Paul. But you have some Pauls, and you have some Silases, and you have some Timothys. And every one of them is unique and different. So the list of David's officers that served in the king's court, you could take each and every one of them, and you could break down, and you could study every one of them, and you could learn from each and every one of them, all 19 of them. I don't have that much time tonight. So, each person had a place of special service. God has chosen that we do. Each of us has a special place of service. God chooses that for us. Each person in this whole text is called by name. You're not a number. You're real to God. God knows your name. How awful it would be to introduce our singers for tonight and say, would 456 and 1952 come up and sing for us? That would just be awful. But no, you have Brother Smith and you have Sister Jones. Would you come up and sing for us tonight? It's just names are so personal. We have names listed here in this passage of Scripture. Each person has a different capacity with which they serve. God puts us where we are and then grows us. Grow where you're planted. Each person was placed there by the King in our passage of Scripture. Anywhere God places you is a special place of service. He knows where He can best use you. He knows your gifts. He knows your heart. And you're there to honor and glorify Him and to edify the church of the living God. I'm going to look at verse number 28, and I know there's two people listed in verse number 28, but I'm going to narrow that down even more to one person. And over verse number 28 of 1 Chronicles 27, and over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Baalhanan, the Gittite. But look at this next one. And over the sellers of oil was Joash. A man named Joash, a keeper of the cellars of oil. His special place of service was not a flashy one or one that attracted a lot of attention. He served a king. He served in a damp, dark, deserted cellar. I'm going to preach on this thought tonight. This thought, the keeper of the oil. That was his job. He was the keeper of the oil. Let's look at the duties. The duties of Joab. He kept the oil. That was his job. He kept the oil. Oil was very important in Jewish society. It was used for religious services. It fueled their lamps. It was an item of commerce. It was very valuable. It was used in medicine, in cooking, and cosmetics. But you know, all of those things very important to that time and that society. But you also look at the fact that the Old Testament type of oil, or the type, is very much a type of the Holy Spirit of God. You think about it. We need people today that will listen to and obey and heed the Holy Spirit of God in their life. Keepers in David's day literally kept, the keepers of the oil in that day literally kept the lights on. We really take lights for granted today. We flip a switch and the light comes on. In that day, candles or oil lanterns that regularly needed to be serviced, replaced, or maintained in some way. His job was literally to keep the lights on. You think about that in our lives. Christ's light is to shine through us, through you, right here in Anchorage, Alaska. He kept the oil. But also Joash, he, as a keeper of the oil, he stayed in his place. It would have been hard. I would think about spending all your time in a dark, damp cellar. That would have not been a glorious job, but he stayed in his place. His job was to take care of the oil. We need people today that will stay in their place. Faithfulness. The words I really long for. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He protected the oil. He watched out for thieves, somebody that would come and steal the oil. He kept inventory of the oil. Keepers are needed today so no one can steal their oil. You think of things that can steal our oil. Bitterness, anger, complacency, apathy, worldliness. Sometimes the cares of the world can steal our oil. But Joash, he was there to protect the oil. He was there to watch over it. May I say tonight, just keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. He'll never fail you. So his duties. His duties were many, but not really very glamorous. But there were certainly some disadvantages to his job as well. He was not noticed. It might seem like a thankless job compared to, say, a garden keeper. Can you imagine what it would be like to keep the king's garden? Nora was showing me the flowers out front. I think they're absolutely gorgeous. And she was showing me the different ones out front. And what a beautiful, what do they call that when you put flowers across, like, flower bed, I guess, right? Yeah, anyway, I love it. Beautiful. Nora was showing that to me. I can imagine what it would be like to keep a king's garden. Whenever they had kings that were visiting and or people of royalty that would come to visit the king would say, hey, come on out and see my garden. This is where the roses are, and this is where the lilacs are, and this is where, the different flowers. How often would he take people down? Let me show you my oil cellar. Down the stairs to the cellar. This is where Joash lives. In the cellar. Kind of unnoticed, if you will. It was uncomfortable. Cool. Dark. Damp. But it's a place that they needed like that to be able to preserve the oil. Not all of God's assignments are pleasant. Some people get called to some pretty harsh areas. God led our family to the Dakotas. I could say how hard the winters were in the Dakotas, but none of you would listen because you're all from Alaska. You know, they say about the Dakotas where men are men and women are as well. I love the Dakotas, though. I ended up with two daughters-in-law from the Dakotas. But you know what? I also ended up with a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law from Alaska. Good people. God may call somebody to a harsh place. I say that. You guys live in extremes here. It was lonely. Sometimes ministry can be lonely. Oftentimes you're misunderstood or misrepresented. I wonder how often the king visited his oil supply. But guaranteed, if he ran out, the king would notice. You might even assume that that job was a little unappreciated. You wonder if people made fun of Joash. You're a keeper of the oil. You ever been made fun of as a Christian? You go to church how many times a week? Really? I remember when I surrendered full-time to the ministry, and I remember a family member telling me, best of luck to you. That was hard. But God is faithful. You know, my background was maintenance. You think of the disadvantages of a job. In industry, maintenance seemed like it was always the bottom of the food chain, or the rung, as you will. Operations got all the glory, but maintenance, if anything went wrong, we're the ones that got in trouble. So I kind of understand where Joash is at, maybe a little bit in this job. But we need to be careful not to let those things determine where we're willing to serve. So his job may have had some disadvantages, but there are certainly also some demands on his job. He needed to stay in his place until the king called. Be faithful till the King of Kings and Lord of Lords calls you home or changes your assignment. Our job is to be faithful. Don't come out for just any reason. If you're serving God, you're doing the greatest work in the world. Anything else is a step down. I would imagine there are some that used to come here to Independent Baptist Church and no longer attend. Brother, that's sad. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. The name, Joash. I like names. I like names and I like their meanings. Joash means Jehovah fired. Man, I can't think of a better way to serve God than to be fired or fueled by God Himself. If we try and do it in the flesh, I promise you, you're going to burn out. You're going to be disappointed. As somebody once said, ministries would be wonderful if there weren't any people. But I tell you, if there were no people, there'd be no ministry. And ministry is all about serving people. People are going to disappoint you. We cannot be fueled by people. We've got to be fueled by Jesus Christ. Joash, Jehovah fired. Being energized by God. His job was to simply obey the king. He was a keeper of the oil. The king was the only one he needed to please. Folks, God is so good. We get to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just that thought right there brings chills to my spine. I get to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we go out and knock on doors, we're representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every job that God allows in our life, no matter what, we're representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank God for ushers. Sometimes that can seem like a job that's in the cellar. But ushers, you realize the first impression for Independent Baptist Church is a person coming in the door, they're greeted by an usher. That's their first introduction to the church. Thank God for nursery workers. Our little children, our babies, that's their first caring in a local New Testament church. The groundskeepers, thank God for people who keep up what's going on around here and maintain the building. Thank God for those that watch over the music. Thank God for Sunday school teachers. Are you a keeper of the oil? Are you faithfully fulfilling the duties that God has given you? Deacon. Prayer warrior. Musician. Groundskeeper. Teacher. I think one of the toughest duties in a church sometimes is the sound system people. I've watched them struggle. It's their job to make us sound good. Sometimes that can be challenging. Sometimes things enter in that we just have no explanation for. But they sit up there and we rarely see them unless something goes wrong. Thank God for them. All of us must be Jehovah-fired or simply Spirit-filled. Walk with God. Talk with Him. When God finally got a hold of my heart a number of years ago, and I remember starting to work and serve in my local church, and I remember one of the Sunday school director came to me and asked if I'd be willing to teach in first, second, and third grade class. I thought, how hard could that be? Until I went there, and there was between, on an average, there was between 75 and 100 kids in that class. Now, I wasn't the only one in there. Obviously, there was other workers, but a lot of those kids were brought in, not our church kids, but they were brought in to church. They didn't behave like our kids. They didn't behave like our other church kids. Matter of fact, some of them were quite ruly. And I've been kicked, slugged, spit on, cussed out. I've been, it's just barfed. Everything that could happen, I've had it happen to me at some point in first, second, third grade class. And my wife and I got to work in there together through the years. And it was hard. And I remember one day we had one boy that was just absolutely, completely unruly to the point we had to call a deputy sheriff to come and take him home. It was that bad. And I went to our the staff man that was in charge of the Sunday schools. I said, Pastor, I said, this is just, I can't do this anymore. He said, well, come with me this afternoon and we'll go visit that boy. I said, you don't understand. I'm done. I don't want to do that anymore. He says, well, I'll pick you up in 10 minutes. And I tried to explain. I didn't have time to go and do this. And he said, I'll be there. And he was there and he picked me up and I went. When I went in that house where that boy lived, it absolutely broke my heart. The filth, the things that were there, the things, items I saw, the alcohol, the drugs, the stuff that was on the TV. And I thought, that boy just needs to be loved. Why am I doing it? For Christ. To see that boy come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The only hope he has is coming to church and learning about Christ. Our motives in serving are so important. We absolutely need to be Jehovah-fired. Names are significant. You know, when we were naming all of our children, we agonized. That's really a bad word. We consider different names for different children. And we named them after people that were special in our lives. Again, growing up in the older household, you get used as a sermon example, and I'm going to use Jason again as a sermon example. And Jason Ronald Oler is named after his great uncle or my uncle. My uncle served for over 20 years in the mission field, and he was killed on the mission field. He was an influence in my life. Jason, I didn't know it. Of course, when we named him, we picked that name for him. You know, he grew up, and of all his siblings, he's the most like his uncle. So he's really lived up to his namesake. Again, names. Take the surname. Surnames, a lot of people, their surname derived a lot of them from occupations that they may have had. In history, it was very common for a son to take on his father's occupation. Smith is a very common name because there are many fields of Smiths. Ironsmith, silversmith, goldsmith. Aerosmith, I knew an Aerosmith, and there's just so many different Smiths, or a John's son of John. It just, names, very important. The surname Oler, when I looked it up, occupational name for an extractor or seller of culinary oil, typically from olives, from the Middle High German. And I'm thinking, am I living up to my namesake as a believer? and as a Christian. That's humbling. Because literally, we are representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I ask you tonight, are you living up to your namesake? Christian? Husband? Wife? Father? Mother? Deacon? Usher? Sunday school teacher? Folks, it's our job to be a keeper of the oil. Whatever God has placed you, we've got to protect that. And are you Jehovah-fired? Would you stand with me, please? If God's dealt with your heart, maybe there's something in your life, maybe you want to quit. I've been there. Maybe God's dealing with you with an area of service, or maybe God's dealing with you about salvation, but whatever it is, are you a keeper of the oil? Are you living up to your namesake? However God's dealt with your heart, just respond as the Holy Spirit of God leads. Lord, I pray you'd work and move in the invitation in Jesus' precious name. Pastor?
Amen. What an important and encouraging truth for us. 1 Corinthians 12 even came to mind as he was preaching with the different parts of the body. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were in the eye, and it goes on. And the importance of how much we need each other. And just great examples from our ushers to our nursery workers, the teachers that are in this church, the groundskeeper, those who come in faithfully and clean the church, of the role that you play, to our bus workers brought up. And bus workers, I thought we brought a good point. I know it grabbed my heart. I want you to think about that. For many of those that where Lord has put you in the bus ministry to do that, you are providing an opportunity of the one thing that will really change their life. It's not going to be the school system. It's going to be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you go and get them, they don't know that yet. They don't know that yet. Certainly is true. And then when you look at the responsibility you have, do you do it as unto the Lord? Do you have that fire from God with it? You know, if you're an usher back there, you do it as unto the Lord. If whatever it is, you're a Sunday school teacher, do it as unto the Lord. You do it with some passion, with some fire behind it from the Lord, making sure that it certainly is all about Him. Now, let me ask this question. I don't think we have any first-time visitors here tonight, but is there anyone here say, Pastor, with heads bowed, eyes closed, just for a second, just real quick. Say, Pastor, I'm not certain that I am saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Listen, I don't want you to leave here tonight without that opportunity to come to know Christ, to make that decision. If you're here, say, Pastor, please, I think I need that. Would you just raise your hand for me? Anybody here like that? Just raise your hand for me. Let me see it, and then you can put it back down. I see some small children. If you put your hand up, I missed it. I would need you to do it again for me. All right. Christian, the Lord spoke to your heart. You come and pray. Again, Father, bless this invitation. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And let's turn to page 491. 491 in the Psalm books. And if you need to come and pray, you come and pray. 491.